I don't know where I can have them go. There's shade right here. There's shade back where? Well, that's not going to help if I'm facing that direction. Here you go. Sit right by your spot there. Everyone, sit right back here in the shade. Yeah, you're good. Yes, adult gets the same deal.
So it's every chapter in the Bible?
Yes. Yes.
All
right. I really got nothing for you guys. Say, just get out of here. I don't know what you think this is. You think church is for you or something? Answer.
Yes.
Try it again. You think church is for you or something?
Yes.
Louder. I can't hear you yet.
Yes.
I have to ask the question, though. You think church is for you or something? Absolutely. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't receive Jesus the same way you would a little child. Do you remember when Ava did something really unusual? Ava, would you come here and take my hand like you did in church? Thank you. Can you hang on? I was standing up front. Do any of you adults remember? Ava rocked right up there, grabbed my hand during the service, and we all went right on, and she was absolutely comfortable. And here's the best part. So was I. Okay, you can go sit back down, honey. Thank you. The miracle of this text for you guys is this. Sometimes big people think little people are what? Yeah. Kids, I don't know. But here's the truth. You know what Jesus said about them? Number one, kids, number one. Babies, number one. Do you know what he said? When the women and the men started bringing their babies, little babies, to Jesus, you know what the disciples tried to say? Get away. You know what Jesus said? Let them come. The kingdom of God belongs to them. So today's sermon is going to be very short. I got something just for you kids, and I want you to grab just the bracelet for now. Don't look at what it says till you get back to your spot, okay? We're going to trust that the bracelet is written just for you. Every one of you gets a bracelet, and then stay out of the sun so you don't get heat stroke or anything. So, you ready for that? That's what my sermon is going to be about, for the big people to understand how important the little people are, and for the little people to remember how important Jesus thinks they are, and how much he wants them in heaven with him too. Can you remember that for me? I didn't bring any candy out today, mostly because it would have melted before I even got it into your hands. But if you remember in church, I will be in there and you can grab a piece when you're in church again, okay? Good. Let me get this thing. You hand me that, Paul? I'll let you hang on to that. Here you go, kids. Grab a bracelet. Quick as you can. Here we go. Just the bracelets. Go. Don't look at it. Just grab one. Just grab one. Take it home. Let mom read it with you. That's a boy. Good. Grab one. Good. Who didn't get one? Everyone got one? Outstanding. It's bending over. I don't need that. I need this. And I was starting to feel the heat standing out there. So I'm standing in here. And I'll talk short. 67 years ago, he made this promise, and he's still working on it. Fascinating, isn't it? How many times he had to speak to people who thought they didn't need salvation in cemeteries and in places where you bury people, you know, the places that people die, or you're having this kind of situation. You got these people who go, well, I'm good enough for heaven. And Harry was a really good guy, and therefore we know where he is. This just destroys that. Not because God is angry or anything, but because it's important that people understand this. And so the first point that Jesus made, he said, I will tell this thing, this parable, to certain people who have confidence in themselves that they were righteous enough. And they actually then went a step further and despised other people who weren't as righteous as they. So I'm not talking to anybody out there. I'm talking to people in the church who have their noses up, which is capable of all of us. You know, I at least have read Revelation. You haven't. These are what we call pietistical people, which we're all capable of. Thank God we do this. We don't do that. We sing. We don't sing liturgy. We do that. And you get into all these little bickerings that churches are capable of, and you begin to realize, as Jesus looks at us and he says, I'm not preaching to them. I'm talking to you. And he says this, have you ever thought of yourself as righteous enough? Where did you get that idea? Where did you ever think that because you help out in church, teach something, do something, help with somebody, drive somebody, that now you're more righteous than you were 5, 10 minutes, an hour and a half ago? And we get into that mode so easily, and that becomes part of our dilemma. We actually create within ourselves this concept of salvation by the good things that I'm capable of doing. Jesus wants to bust that right open, okay? So he does this. Two men, very simple parable so far. This is only 4 verses long. Two men go up to the temple to pray. Good objective, same objective. They go up to deal with God and them. They want to talk to the Lord. Okay? It says, one was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. In the Greek, it would say a tax farmer. Tax farmers were hated, tax collectors, because the government would give them a certain figure they had to reach. But they could come and say, ah, you're rich, I think I'll charge you $100. Ah, you're not so rich, I'll charge you $50. And they'd walk through among their own fellow people, and they would take their money, and they were hated because of that very reason, and legitimately so, okay? But the places they stand, one is up front near the keyboard. Hey, Paul, look at me. I can really sing. And the other was way in back under his umbrella. Good. And it goes, yeah, you better stay back there. And you begin to understand by the sheer positioning they were establishing. Yes, they were establishing that very point. Am I loud enough, by the way? Yeah. I can get the microphone. You want the microphone? Okay. Turn it off. Yes, I know. Said this, the Pharisee stood and he prayed this way to himself. The reason he prays to himself is because he's his own God. I have enough righteousness. I've done enough good things. And in my world, in my concept of heaven, if I do these good things and don't do those bad things, I am good enough. God is lucky to have me in his church. God is lucky to have me in his kingdom. And he goes on from there. And then he comes up with this list of I'm not like. I'm just not like the others who are extortionists, unjust, adulterers, Or even like that tax collector over there. Oh, thank God I'm not like you. And they walk in there and they wear that in their heart. Sometimes you can see it on their faces. Thank God I'm not you. And then you see the tax collector standing in back. And he's got his head down. And he's hitting his, Lord, I'm such a rotten. Why am I even here? I don't know why he can even listen to me. And he's crying out for mercy. And Jesus looks at his people and he said, who are you? Which one are you? How easy it is to puff out our chest and say, I did this and I do that. How easy it is to get like that attitude. And at the same time, what's God calling for? He's not enough to beat your chest and hang your head. But he goes, be honest. I haven't done this week what I should. And I haven't lived the way I'm supposed to. And all of those kinds of things that he points out. Then he goes from that very point and he says, listen, you got to be careful. You're going to be arrogant. You're going to lose. Pride goes before the fall, Proverbs would say. Goes on from there. One man went down forgiven. The guy who elevates himself will be brought lower, humbled. The guy who humbles himself will be brought high. And you seem like you're at the end of the story. And he goes, But the women even started bringing their infants. Can you believe it? Those useless little infants who have, well, they don't even deserve to live unless they have certain qualities that I've established. Welcome to American culture. Then they can live. Then they have worth. Jesus looked at them and said, let them come. Those infants belong in the kingdom. Before you and I even know all the implications of that, he's saying, these infants belong in the kingdom. And he said, you let them come. And if you can't receive them the same way I took her hand, or actually she took mine originally, and I let her hang on to it, just like a little kid who wraps himself around your leg and says hi, or something else, it goes, if you can't receive the kingdom of God with that kind of vulnerability, and he points that out, you're never going to get in. You're never going to get in. So no matter which category we find ourselves, the message remains the same. Check your head. Check your heart. Make sure you understand heaven is for sinners. Salvation is a gift for sinners. And for those who acknowledge their sinfulness, God is more for you every day than you can possibly imagine. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we sinners gather here in this place within our little bitty world, a little taste of hell. And we understand, Lord, that we don't want to go there. But we need you to uproot any pride or arrogance, any bragging that we might have and want to do. Instead, Lord, we ask that you would convince us, work on our hearts to be like the tax collector, hang our heads down, recognizing in you, O Jesus, is life, in you, O Jesus, is hope, in you is forgiveness beyond anything I will ever deserve or comprehend. Help me receive you like I receive a little child. In your name, Jesus, amen. In this time of prayer, I'm ready to pass out and fainting. If you've got something, just let me know. We didn't do slips today, but I'll just have a prayer.